thoroughly enjoying studying the book of 1 John again, a very familiar book to me, one that I've spent a lot of time in and early in my Christian life, and still one of my favorite books of the Bible, partially because it's short, partially because there's so much in it. And 1 John chapter number 2, and if you found your place there, if you stand in respect to the Word of God with me this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I was actually all week preparing a message to go down a number of verses farther, but yesterday I thought, boy, there's so much in these three verses here to cover. I'm not sure if I can get through all of it in one message. So we're going to focus on just three verses this morning. And if you follow along in verse number 12, he says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, and for his name's sake. I write unto you, little children, because you're, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." I immediately think of Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings chapter number 3, where he is dedicating the temple, and a different prayer, the more extensive words are given in the book of Chronicles. But in 2 Kings chapter number 3, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived on this earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this in his prayer, "I am but a little child. I'm but a little child. I know not how to go up and how to come in. I don't know how to go through a door. I don't know how to stand up and sit down. I'm just a child." And I love what he says in verse number 12. "Our sins are forgiven for his name's sake." We're saved not for our glory, not for our benefit, but for his benefit. That kind of changes everything. And I want to talk to you on this subject today of adults in Jesus. The full title was, "Let's Be Adults in Jesus." Let's be adults. Our world would be a lot better place if we had more adults in our world. You know, children easily get offended. Adults don't get offended. Hello? Children are overly dramatic. You ever see a little child when they get a little ooboo, they got to have a Band-Aid? Adults are beyond the drama. We could use some adults in our world today. Children fuss and pout and throw fits. Adults know better than to do that. We've got a lot of children in adults' clothing today. Children are unstable. Adults are steady and stable. Children need help in growing to adulthood. And reality is, we are children more than we realize. And we need to learn to be adults today. Father, I pray now that you would work in us. Sweet Son of God, Jesus Christ, thank you that you died for us. And we died with you. And we have risen with you. The Spirit within us is life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us, the God that spoke the universe into existence, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the Eternal God has taken up residence in each of us that are saved and born again. God, I pray that you would work among us this morning. God, that you would help us to be adults in this world filled with children today. To realize that we have an old sin nature that's dragging us down, and we need to be lifted up by the Holy Spirit of God today. Work now in our hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name, and for your sake, amen. You can have a seat if you will. The Bible tells us we're born into this world with a sin nature, condemned unto death. We mentioned this verse a couple of times in my Sunday school class in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. Wherefore, death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, modern so-called science, evolutionary science, tells us just the opposite. God says our world and our flesh is in the process of dying. Evolution says, no, it's getting better. Contrary to true science. The so-called science of sociology and psychiatry tells us that we're naturally good. That wrong behavior is something that's learned. But all of us are born into this world naturally good. The Bible tells us exactly the opposite. Reality tells us that children don't have to be taught to do wrong. Do they? Every parent knows that. Now, grandparents seem to forget that. But we naturally, in this world, children already are experts at lying, aren't they? They already know how to steal, how to cheat. They don't have to be taught how to hate. It'd be good if our world understood that today. They don't have to be taught how to display selfishness and meanness and anger. Those are things that are a part of our fallen Adamic nature. Now, on your paper there, I've got a number of statements here written more for introduction. A child needs to be trained, not just raised. You know, our world is good at raising children today, but they don't even speak of training children. And there's a world of difference. And we're seeing the second or third generation that's been raised, but they've not been trained. We're to train children to become productive adults in this present world. And we're to teach by example and precept of how to love, how to work, how to give, how to share, how to be kind, how to have self-control, how to abstain from sin and the lust of the flesh. We're to teach how to be orderly and productive. You know, when Jesus was in this world, He was unique in that He had no sin nature. But He still had to develop as a child, like any child would, even though He had no sin nature. He was very unique in that matter. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse number 52, I put the verse there for you so we won't take time to look at it, or look it up in our Bible. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Notice the four areas where Jesus matured in. Now, these are all important, and this is more by way of introduction than the main message this morning. Jesus matured, first of all, in wisdom. Wisdom is our education that's applying our knowledge. Wisdom is much different than knowledge. We think that in our world today, if we just give people knowledge, they will be okay. Knowledge without wisdom is one of the most destructive things you can ever give somebody. Jesus increased with wisdom. That's educating, education that's applied to real life situations and practicality. And He also increased in stature. That's physically. He grew to adulthood. He learned to exercise, to eat right, to be healthy and take care of his hygiene needs. And some of us have gone to the point where we need to stop growing, stop increasing in stature. But we still need to take care of this old flesh so that we can be used of God. And that's something that, sad to say, is neglected by so many Bible-believing Christians today. But we're not focused on that today. But He also increased with favor with God. That's His spiritual development. Of course, Jesus was God. He was fully God and fully man. He did not have a sin nature like you and I have. And yet still Jesus increased in His spirituality. We, of course, need to be saved and sanctified. Jesus didn't need either one of those. He came to save. He didn't need to be saved. He was the Savior. And we are the savees. Is that a word? Is that right? And He also grew in favor with man. That's social development. Learn how to live amongst others, how to communicate with others, how to work amongst others and with others. Jesus increased as a child would. Now, all these are important to live a healthy and productive adult life. God's Word has answers for every one of these answers, every one of these areas. And a wise person will know the value of a term that you use today, here used a lot today, of a holistic life. But to focus on all of these things are very important. They all overlap to some degree. But our focus this morning is on the spiritual aspect. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And the three levels of spiritual maturity. We all have struggles in our life in different areas, but our focus is on the spiritual this morning. And notice again in verse number 12 through 14, we won't read it again all the way through, but I want you to see some things here. And the first thing before we look at our text again, in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 29, we read, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Our goal in this life, in eternity, is to be what? Conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Of course, when we are risen with our new body and our new nature, we will no longer have a sin nature and we will be fully like Him. That's something to think about. You know what? There's a lot of things. My mind wanders sometimes when we talk about heaven. You know, when Jesus first raised from the dead, the disciples were locked up in an upper room and He came walking right through the wall. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to just going from here to here without even having to get on an airplane. I'm looking forward to, and by the way, we're still able to eat, yet we're still able to walk through things. Boy, that's the best of both worlds, isn't it? That's all that heaven has to offer for us. But our goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, on this earth, we will never reach fully the image of Jesus Christ, but we're to be reaching forth. And pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I put the verse there, Philippians chapter 3, and verses 12 through 14, that reads, "Not as though I had already attained, nor already perfect, but I follow after that, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, the levels of maturity we want to look at. You might have noticed them when we read through verse 12, 13, and 14. They're mentioned a number of times. In fact, one of them is mentioned repeatedly throughout the book of 1 John. We've already seen it before. And that is that of little children. This is referring to a new convert or a baby believer, someone who just received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're a baby in Christ, if you will. They were born again, but they do know that they are saved. In fact, he says, "I write these things. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are what? Forgiven you for His name's sake." Your sins are forgiven. You know that you're saved. You know you're saved this morning? Say amen. Amen. Well, at least we qualify for little children. And our goal is to get to be adults, okay? This is the assurance of salvation. And a lot of folks are used to looking at the book of 1 John as the book of the assurance of salvation. And that's where I struggled early in my Christian life, is why I love to study the book of 1 John. But as I got a little older in my Christian life, I realized the book of John is really about walking in the power of Christ, in the grace of God, and in walking in true fellowship with God. And when you're in fellowship with God, there's no question about your assurance of salvation. But a baby at least knows for sure that they're saved because they put their faith and trust in Christ. A baby in Christ, or a little child, that reference to a little child is speaking really of an infant, not just a toddler, but an infant, a baby that can't do anything on their own. They've entered yet into a relationship with their Father. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father, the Bible says. We've entered a relationship with the Father. And I think back when each of our children were born, I mean, our firstborn child, especially, I was in Bible college, and man, I used to walk around town holding that little baby, and boy, it's a proud papa boy. That's where I was, you have all these dreams and everything for your child, and you want to have that relationship and that closeness of a child and that care of a child, a baby. Notice in 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'll read the verse to you, a verse that you're probably familiar with. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. A baby, a little child, is hungry for the milk of the word, for the milk of the word. You know, a little baby, that's about all they do, right? Eat and extract that food, right? I'm trying to think, how can I say that? In mixed company, all right? They eat and then they fill their diapers. And we're looking forward to having, I was talking to somebody yesterday, we were visiting, we're asking about our kids, and they said, oh, in the summertime, we're going to have them all home and our backyard, because we're the proximity of the dumpster smells like one big giant diaper is what it smells like, with all those little babies in town and it's just a constant flow of traffic bringing those things out to the trash. And they like to eat, and that's a sign of a health. And by the way, if a baby does not eat, that's a sign of bad health. And a young Christian, if they're not in the Word of God, that means they're in for a heap of trouble, and they're never going to grow. And then notice, I want to say this, that many believers never mature to adulthood. Hebrews chapter number 5, the writer of Hebrews says, of whom we have many things to say, yet hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when ye time ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And sad to say, many Christians never get outside of that infant stage. They spend the rest of their life as a Christian, as a baby in Christ. The Word of God doesn't have an appeal to them, and they're not dig into the Word of God beyond the very basic things of the Word of God. In the next level of Christianity, the next level of maturity is a young what? Young men. Young men. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. For His name's sake, I write unto you, fathers, and we'll get to that one eventually. They're not in necessarily the right order here that we're going to look at them. Or they're in the right order. Maybe I'm not in the right order. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, young men. This is a growing believer. First of all, they're a believer that has experienced some victory. In verse number 13, he says, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You've learned to overcome the flesh. You've got some victory in your life. You've experienced the grace of God, God doing in you what you cannot do. And all of us face the same flesh. All of us face the same temptation. And a young man's learned to overcome, to resist and overcome Satan and temptations of the flesh. Your life is beginning to show signs of maturity when you've reached this stage. A believer that finds strength. And notice this, there's two things I could talk about, but I've lumped them together. One, in verse number 14, this is a believer that finds strength in God's grace. In verse number 14, he says, I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The strength that a young man has is not in his natural ability. Sometimes we foolishly trust our natural ability, our energy, our strength, and what we can do, what we can achieve on our own. But our strength is in the Word of God, in the grace of God, God working in us through the Word of God that abides in us. And the way to get that grace is to get this Word in our mind and in our heart. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? Some folks, I want to have you stand up so you can stay awake this morning. I guess we took too many hours out of our clock last night, huh? A believer or a young man is, and notice this. I'm going to give you something from James chapter number 4. And we'll just look at this very quickly. This is be a whole message here in James chapter number 4, a believer's path to maturity. James 4 verses 6 through 8 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." I wish I had time to turn to James, but you can find the answers that go in here. But let me just mention very quickly, a path to maturity is realizing that God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace only to the humble. When we think that we can fight the devil on our own, then we're not going to know God's grace. We need to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. But we can only resist the devil through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, not on our own. And then we're to draw nigh to God. And then fifthly, we're to cleanse our what? Our hands. Cleanse our hands, ye sinners. And by the way, I can't do that by my own, by myself. I can't cleanse my hands. I can't clean my life up on my own. I need the grace of God to do that. And then we need to purify what? Our heart. To purify our heart. A pure heart is a great treasure. Only Christ can purify our heart. You see, my heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's a young man. And then the third level of Christian maturity, full adulthood. God identifies this as a father. "I write unto you, fathers," in verse number 13 and verse number 14, the fathers are addressed. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning." Again, in verse number 14. This is a believer that has an intimate relationship with God. He knows God. He walks with God. When he kneels to pray, he hears the voice of God. When he gets into the Word of God, God speaks to him personally. He has a personal walk and relationship with God. It's not just something he does because he's expected to do it, but he has an intimate relationship with God. And secondly, this is a believer that demonstrates spirit fruit. Galatians chapter number 5 tells us what the fruit, not plural, the fruit singular of the Spirit is. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And against such there is no law. Mature Christian demonstrates this fruit. And then, thirdly, a father, a mature Christian. And this would not be politically correct because all these stages are in masculine form. How dare God do that? And this woman, this world that is run by women's emotions and all those things. But I just got myself in trouble there, didn't I? Letter C, this father is a believer that reproduces. And oh, how important that is. He's bearing fruit after his kind. All through the Bible. That's an interesting statement to follow through the Bible in the Old Testament. Bearing fruit after his kind. It's natural to bear fruit after his kind. The fruit that we reproduce is people like us. In other words, other believers. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is what? The tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I ask yourself, and God smote me of this week, can we say that we're adults? John 15:16 says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask in the Father's name, he may give it you. A mature Christian reproduces, a father reproduces. And you understand what a father is in the physical world. The same thing's true in the spiritual world. Now, just some things to tie everything together, some takeaway points, I call them. First of all, we need to realize that salvation in Christ is likened unto a new birth. That's how we become a child. That's how we become a believer. And by the way we use the term Christian is not biblical. You say, well, I'm a Christian, that we should be saying I'm a believer. A Christian means we're Christ-like. And I wonder how many of us can truly say we're Christ-like. I'm not there yet, but I am a believer. I'm trying to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm a believer. And I hope I'm growing to maturity to be a young man that's experiencing victory and hopefully a father that's reproducing after his kind and has a close, intimate relationship with God. And we have a two-way conversation when we're in the Bible and when we're communicating in prayer to each other. And children, secondly, don't grow into adults on their own. You know, you don't give birth to a baby and then expect it to do everything on its own. Connor and Joelle can attest to that. That baby wakes up in the middle of the night. Hey, kid, take care of yourself. I'm sleeping. Don't work that way, does it? I saw him fussing today. He must take after his dad. Huh? And that's where our sin nature comes from. Don't ever let him forget that, Joelle. All right? The sin nature comes from dad. But we don't expect children to do things on their own. Everyone needs someone to train them and guide them. Now, we've got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide us. We also, God's given us a blessing of a church and God's people, the family of God, to encourage, to strengthen, and to provoke one another to love and to good works, as the Scripture says. Salvation is likened unto new birth, except a man be born again. Children don't grow into adults on their own. Oh, we need to train, not just raise young people, not just, well, they're saved and we'll just leave them go now. And then believers can only grow in the image of Christ or Christians by submitting to the grace of God, letting the Spirit of God change us from within. And that only happens by giving ourselves to this book. The young man overcame because of the power of the Word of God. He was strong, and the Word of God abides in him. That's what gave him the victory. And the more we abide in the Word of God, and the more the Word of God abides in us, that Jesus spoke of in John chapter number 16, the more we can mature in Christ. The Word of God transforms us from the inside out. Having a prayer life transforms us from the inside out. And I'm asking you to start on this journey of prayer with me tonight. And we're just going to focus on prayer for some time. I don't know how long. We could focus on it the rest of our life and still never gain all the knowledge we ought to have concerning prayer. And we grow in the grace of God through church and learning to love one another. I spoke to a dear lady yesterday. My heart went out to her. Invited her to church, claimed that she was saved, and said that she gave up on church. And she told me of an experience she had some 20 years ago in church and has never darkened the door of a church since then. And I thought, what a tragedy. And the devil says, is trying so much the more to get us out of church. And we need it more than ever before, and yet it's so convenient to just drop out of church today. And I think one of the greatest tragedies of the whole COVID thing is we've got used to watching church online at home. That ain't church. Church is the assembling of ourselves together. We're not to forsake. And what a tragedy that so many people have never experienced. Yeah, sure, you run into bad experiences at church. We have them regularly. But we still see the value of it. Huh? And you hear me say often, I've had a bad experience at the store, but I still go. Huh? I've had a bad experience at restaurants. I even had a bad experience from eating pizza once. And I remember telling myself as it came back up, I'll never eat pizza again in my life. Well, that lasted for about 2 days. A man does not live by bread alone. He needs some sausage and sauce and cheese on that bread too, right? A bad experience ought not to get... there's some things in the Bible I don't understand, but I still need to get into the Word of God. Well, we grow maturity by submission, by giving of ourselves, giving of our time and treasure. A father is more concerned about his children. There's a sign of an adult there. They're more concerned about others than their self and their own personal needs. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.